Jimmy Butler, the gift that keeps on giving. Him, the Celtics, semi-meltdown, and the Heat steal game one. All of that and more next. We're also brought to you tonight by the For Frequency Sake Podcast Network, with new episodes of Card Subject to Change every single Sunday, with the boy, the Wizard CZ, the Honorable One Nick Bull, and the rest of the gang, all bringing you the action every single Sunday on our wrestling podcast, Card Subject to Change. We're mere months away from football season, and right now we're giving you a bunch of fantasy football breakdowns on our Substack newsletter. You can go get more information on our Twitter page at For Frequency Sake, or FFSQC, the For Frequency Sake Facebook page, or just go to For Fantasy Sake QC for more details. We also have merch, and if you enjoy this podcast or any of the other For Frequency Sake Podcast Network shows, you can support us by buying some gear. We have t-shirts, hoodies, raglan tees, and stickers. So whether it's For Fantasy Sake, Educated Ignorance, Card Subject to Change, or just the general For Frequency Sake Podcast Network, we have got you covered. Head on over to ForFantasySakeQC.com and click shop to get your gear today. Again, that is ForFantasySakeQC.com and click shop to get your gear today. Coming up on this pod, we are going to break down game one of the Western Conference Finals. It is night number two of our conference finals, NBA finals, marathon jamboree. Jimmy Butler goes insane. The Heat steal game one with an impressive third quarter rally. And fourth quarter, they were able to hold on to the rope when the Celtics made their run. Fascinating, fascinating game. Shame on you, YouTube TV, for not giving us the final 5 minutes. But shout out to people who post clips on Twitter, and shout out to ESPN Radio. Got to listen to Dan Shulman and Doris Burke make it happen down the stretch. So that was fun. Regardless, we got that, and we're also going to – the schedule might change up a little bit coming up tomorrow night. We'll be back with stuff maybe a little bit later because of the might have to watch some of the game late. But we will be back with the show tomorrow night regardless. Friday night, maybe we'll be on. We should be on, barring a blowout, which I will explain why that's a possibility on the board. Saturday, we will not have anything. The goal probably will be Sunday. We're going to go a little bit longer. Maybe if I'm feeling frisky, we'll do a show before and after the Heat Celtics game three on Sunday. But Saturday night, I have an obligation. I'm going to be working a boxing pay-per-view Saturday in Cedar Rapids, so I will not be able to watch the game, at least the beginning of it. Who knows? If the card gets over early and it's at half by the time I'm done, I could leave, watch the game on the way home, and be back and maybe do a show. But as of now, we will probably not be on Saturday. But that right now, more than likely, is going to be the only game that we miss. So let's, other than that, I think we've got all of the housekeeping taken care of. Can't wait to talk about this one. This was a doozy. This was a fantastic game. And we will start it now. Let's talk some basketball. All right, so let's talk some hoops. Game number one of the East Final. It didn't disappoint. Now, I didn't really know exactly what to expect in this series. I had my doubts to a degree. And of competitiveness, like, were the Heat just riding an immaculate bender that was destined to end at some point? Would they finally, you know, how would the how would their role players continue to play over stretches of games? And I thought tonight was a very impressive showing by, of course, we're going to get to the main man himself who really sealed the deal at the end. But you could make an argument that through the majority of the game, he wasn't Miami's best player. I thought Bam Adebayo was sensational. He was great the entire game. His ability to defend well inside, and he was big late, which we'll get to one of my biggest talking points. In the some other big moments, I thought Kevin Love had some good moments. Kyle Lowry off the bench was great. Cody Martin hit shots. Four guys for the Heat. Everyone who scored for the Heat except for Kevin Love had 15 points or more. You had Vincent, Struess, Martin, and Lowry with 15 each. Bam with 20 and Jimmy with 35. And then, of course, you had Kevin Love, who had 8. So I just thought that this was a very balanced game from Miami, and they obviously shot the ball really well, but their offense as a whole was very hard to guard because of their shot selection, which we will get to. I thought Boston in the first quarter, in the first half, really looked the best I have seen them as a unit, as a team on the offensive end, really all year. Now, Miami, Riddler in the playoffs, Miami did a good job of running them off the 3-point line. They were very aggressive. Boston shot one of their lower output games, I should say, from three in the playoffs all season. They shot 29 threes. This team normally shoots 40 a game. That's going to be a huge talking point. And the Heat did a good job of getting guys high on catches to attack heavy on closeouts to run Boston off the lane. And in the first half, it worked for Boston. They were able to drive inside, get layups. Tatum did a good job not settling. Marcus Smart, I thought, was very good in the first half. He finished with 11 assists, but he was good inside, getting inside, dishing it off. The majority of their points early were Robert Williams kind of duck-offs. They were getting inside and then hitting Robert Williams under the basket. He finished 14 points, and he made all 6 of his shots. So that's just kind of goes to show you what kind of game he had and how the Celtics offense was able to cook and get the ball inside. I thought from a first half perspective, this game obviously was back and forth, blow for blow, and then all of a sudden the Celtics really started to make a run. There was one moment there to end the first half where the Heat just started to not score. I thought the main thing what they did in the first half was they were able to keep up with Boston, just keep going back and forth. And eventually they packed the paint in the second half, and that helped. Plus, they started to hit some threes. Now, the thing that, you know, I think this game is going to be a lesson in, I think some people, Boston fans are going to be upset because Joe Mazzulla let the Heat score 46 points in the third quarter, make a huge run, and never take a timeout, never really pump the brakes, never stop the momentum. And I'm with him. I think that was a bit of bad game management by Boston, but their players do need to play better, especially Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. The fourth quarter down the stretch, they had a lot of very bad, just careless turnovers. Whether it's Jaylen Brown, who sometimes seems like he can't dribble the ball whatsoever, Jason Tatum, just a couple bad mistakes. It was just mental mistakes like that in turnovers. The Celtics had 6 turnovers from Jaylen Brown himself. Those are big, allowing the Heat to get out and run. They did a really good job of taking out moments in transition. Bam Adebayo in the first half too. I loved what he did with grab, and in the second half as well. In the third quarter, he was sparking stuff, just grabbing the ball, bringing it down and getting stuff going. The third quarter, the Heat got out and were running, and that was very impressive. Whether it was Love coming down, hitting some outlet passes, Bam catching the rebound and going, the Heat did a really good job in that third quarter, and that was one of the things. They started to pick the pace up, and that's what helped them get back in the game and then get a lead. And Boston fans are going to be mad at the fact that, you know, 46 third quarter points, they never called a timeout. Celtics scored the first 7 points of the fourth quarter. Spo calls a timeout to settle the troops down. So that's just kind of one thing that you're going to hear Celtics fans or people talking about this. That's going to be a casual take. I don't mind it because you just need the Celtics players to play better in certain spots. For Miami, it was a good job for them to get composed, and their offense, you know, stayed tough to guard. And this is where we get to the lesson of the day. And it's the lesson in shot variety. This in itself was a game where the Boston Celtics, if you go look at the spray chart, it was a whole bunch of layups and threes. For Miami, it's everywhere. It's three levels. It's layups, mid-range. They got 20 points in the mid-range tonight, and three-pointers. Now, Miami, you could say they had a variance three-point game to a degree. They hit 50% of their threes, 51% of their threes. They went 16 of 31 from three. The biggest reason, other than Jimmy Butler's greatness, that this postseason has been so fruitful for the Heat is that they have gone from the league's worst three-point shooting team and offensive team to one of the best. I think they're sixth in three-point shooting in the playoffs coming into tonight. So that just shows it's a complete 180 from the regular season, what they were doing from the outside. But you have Butler, who wasn't really efficient tonight. He still went 2 of 4 from three. Struess, Vincent, and Martin went 9 for 17 combined from three. That's going to get it done. Like, they're just ability to get good shots, but also Butler hunting in the mid-range, Bam hunting in that 10 to 12 foot range. All of those types of things. Kyle Lowry as well. When you only hunt threes and layups, you end up becoming easier to guard. And I think that showed early on in this game when Miami was, you know, when Miami was running Boston off the three-point line and just giving up layups, eventually Miami did a better job of rotations, forcing Boston to pass the ball back out, and Boston was unable to capitalize on threes. And then, of course, Boston had some turnovers there late in regulation. I think those are just minute detail switches that all go hand in hand. And the interesting point going forward is going to be how aggressive does Miami continue to try to just let them either run into layups or cover and you know, force Boston to continue to try to whip the ball around off of closeouts. Now, I want to see... I think Boston in game, I would love to just say that I would love to, that I think an adjustment would be for Boston to start getting more mid-range looks. Brown has a good mid-range game when he goes to it. Tatum, obviously, I mean, he used to have, and used to, he's only 25, but this is just last year in the playoffs. One of the things I love so much about him was he had that great in-between game where he could slow it down and then make good decisions. He still does that time to time, but it's way more sped up now. And I just wish that he would go to the 15 to 18 footer more often. Too many times his shit is either at the rim or a three pointer, and he settles too much for bad shots. Tonight I thought he was okay. He only took three threes, but again, they ended up getting ran off the 3-point line tonight, and it kind of screwed with their game. But they ended up getting easier to guard. They were taking tougher shots at the rim because Miami did a good job of flowing things to the rim, and then they were able to do a good job defensively in the paint, in the restricted area against some of the Celtics cutters. Some stuff for the Celtics offense that I really don't like, that I would love, like when they're on, and I can't even again say I'd love to see them adjust it, because this is a problem with them that they never adjust. And it's the biggest thing that stands in the way for me, stands in the way of them being the best team, being the most dominant team, winning a title, and just completely goofing it, is they are way too stagnant. They end up letting they let the shot clock wind down too late before they either get the ball to Tatum or wait to do a to or wait to get into their action. And that's not just late game stuff. The third quarter, you know, the first quarter, even though they weren't shooting threes and they were getting ran off the three-point line, the ball was moving from the moment it got off half court. It's going from A to B to drive to C to drive to layup. All of those types of things. Or, you know, quick action, three-pointer, miss, make or miss, regardless. Their offense in the first half was movement, 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 bam. Second half, third quarter, fourth quarter especially, they just wait so fucking long to get into their shit, and it drives me insane. And that has to be something that they have to be more consistent about. Game two, I think the reason I was saying earlier, you might not see us Friday night for game two, because I have a feeling that game two could be a dog walking. I will not be shocked if Boston rolls out of bed, goes 25 for 45 from three, and wins by 30 plus. I just feel like they have a game like that that's due. I mean, I thought they were going to get that against Philadelphia, but they really didn't, and they still won by 30. I will say this though too. I don't know if, like, even here's the one interesting thing. So Miami has now won all three game ones in their series. And you look at underseeded teams, how do you get upsets? Stealing game one is big. The Heat and the Lakers have followed very similar paths to get to the conference finals. Even though I have mentioned they are not from the same tree of underdog team overachieving. It's two different streets for the Heat. I think people need to stop acting like the Heat are the mid-major team that crashed the Final Four party in March and are going to get bulldozed. But I also think comparing them to the Lakers as a play-in team is different. The Heat struggled down the regular season. All year long, they were either hurt or inconsistent, bad offense all year, lost their first play-in game. And, you know, Jimmy caught fire. They ragged all the Bucks, beat the Knicks, and now they're here. I'm not trying to not give them credit. They've been awesome and they deserve it. They absolutely could win the title. I think they're the fourth best team out of the field, but I still think acting like going into tonight, I think they were like plus 1500 to win the championship. And I just think those odds are silly. But also with like the other end for the Lakers, you know, they're not just a seven seed that got there. They are a team that reshaped the role players on their roster. And turned the corner, found an identity. And like since mid-February, they've been the best team in the sport. So, but the point I was trying to make, the Lakers and the Heat have taken similar paths. Lakers in round one against Memphis, win game one. In round two against Golden State, win game one. Both of those on the road. Miami wins game one in Milwaukee, and New York wins game one in MSG. Both teams lose game two, then win their games at home to go up 3-1. Miami obviously beat the Bucks in five in the most hilarious collapse in league history. The Lakers in both series lost game five, won game six to close it out. So, listen, I know without that model, do I think the Lakers are screwed against Denver? No, because I would expect, even if they lose tomorrow, I don't think they're out of it. I think there's a world that exists where they could win four out of five, because I think an advantage for the Lakers is I think Murray and Porter and maybe KCP, those guys are going to be worn down by the time we get to three, four, five, game five, you know, that area. And so we'll see. That's my biggest thing for the Lakers in this series. You know, the Heat, the difference between the Heat and the Lakers in their game twos, you know, the Lakers kind of punted on game two against Memphis. The effort in game two against Golden State just wasn't there, even though LeBron scored. Miami, even though they got beat by 30, it was because the Bucks hit like 30 threes in game two against the Heat, and they scored like 126. They just gave up 150 because the Bucks shot the shit out of the ball. in game two against the Knicks, remember, Jimmy Butler didn't play. That's a one-point game with 2 minutes left. And the Heat were leading the majority of the night. So here's the thing. I don't think Miami's going to just punt on game two. I think Boston wins in a comfortable game. But the Heat aren't just going to come out there and just not give a shit. At least I don't think. I don't think you'll see Jimmy Butler, you know, put the pedal to the floor as much in this game as, you know, in game two as he did tonight. And I don't even think, like, Butler was good. He was great. But I don't think this was really one of his better games. I think he was good and very persistent and dominant in his shot creation and his consistency in shot making. And then obviously that three he hit to close the deal was fucking insanity. And obviously his steals. He had six steals tonight. His defense down the stretch on Brown and Tatum, mainly Tatum, was really, really good. But they could compete in a game where he only has 20. But I think in game two, Boston's just going to shoot the ball from three and actually hit him more. Maybe they'll make some adjustments with actually getting some in-between scoring. I don't know. It's something they haven't done yet. So it's not something – I can't sit here and say it's an adjustment they need to make when it's something they haven't done yet. And that's something that really bugs me. So we'll be back again tomorrow night with game two of Lakers Nuggets. Cannot wait. Cannot wait. Cannot wait. That one's going to be fun. Of course, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, or iTunes, whatever, Amazon Music, wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you very much for listening. Click like if you like the video. Tell your friends all that fun stuff, or like the show. Tell your friends all that good stuff. Like this on Facebook. Share it on Facebook. We'll be back here tomorrow night with game number two of the Lakers and the Nuggets. We will see you guys then. Until then, this has been the Educated Ignorance Podcast. I've been Joe the Show Winkle. We'll see you guys tomorrow night. Remember, if you ain't got your game, best pass the sticks. We are out. See you guys tomorrow. Peace.